Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
So, over the line goes the number 25, Martin Conrad Manfilter Team Landgraf car. It is running in second position. And we will head to Catesby Jones in the pits with Diana Binks with an update about how this BMW's been going. Second puncture, I make it, Di.
Thank you, Johnny. Catesby, you've just jumped out of the car, unfortunately. You're just refuelling, aren't you, here in the pit lane? So I'll let you catch your breath. Right. But, a strong scent out there, but some issues.
Yeah, we've had our second puncture of the race, and it's the same tire, and it's just totally random. I don't know if it's debris on the track or it just happens to be bad luck, but it's really set us back a bit. But we're having fun.
I mean, that's disappointing, isn't it, when that happens, and you obviously just have to deal with it and come in. We've got so many hours yet to go.
Totally, yeah. So at this time, we just have to realign our strategy every time this happens and hope for the best. But we're just going to keep going, pursuing, and do the best we can with what we have.
How are you finding it out on track? How are you managing the traffic?
Well, when they get a pack of the GT3 cars, it's a bit of a challenge, and then you have to go offline to be courteous, and that could be where I'm picking up debris. It's hard to tell, but we want to stay clean, and we don't want to have any impacts, so that's our goal, because you have to finish.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, really having fun.
You've got a big smile on your face. I'm assuming you're enjoying it.
We're having fun. Thank you.
What's the sort of strategy going to be for the sort of final 50 minutes or so that we've got left for this afternoon?
Just not another flat. So Wim's just going to finish it out, and he's got fresh tires. He should be good. So hopefully clean race and has fun.
Great stuff. Thanks for chatting to us. I'll let you catch your breath now.
Thanks.
That's Catesby Jones then, chatting to Di and the green and black BMW, which looks really menacing in that cut paint scheme for this year. The Team ACP Tangerine Associates car has had its fair share of bad luck when it comes to punctures, but whether that's something that they can look to address during tomorrow's race, very difficult once you've committed to tyre pressures, to, well, not necessarily pressures, but more camber settings, and amounts of tow in or out, then...
Not allowed to change the car, Johnny.
You can't do it overnight.
No.
But I'm wondering whether you may be able to kind of chip away at it tomorrow during the 6.5 hours. But during a pit stop, you want that to be as quick as possible. Everything's in cement, effectively, after that, isn't it? You've made the decision yesterday and the day before, and you kind of have to just live with it.
Yeah, things like cast the camber, you've pretty much got to live with it. Unless you get a really long yellow... and you maybe have a tweak, but that's on more of the prototype like setups, like on the GT3 car. On a production based car like that BMW of Catesby Jones, not a chance. Remember what we saw the Hofer Bond car after that problem being towed with being stringed, as we say. That's a long process. That's a long drawn out process, because your mechanics have to be meticulous, and you're dealing with millimeters. So when I say I want 1.8 millimetres of tow, I don't want 2 millimetres or 1.5, I want 1.8 millimetres of tow. That's what the tolerances of the engineers are working to. So that takes a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, and a little bit of a lot of attention to detail. So that's not the work of a moment. So you're right, once that flag flies and the lights go out and we start racing, unless you've got a massive problem and it's a repair job, so you might as well, like we saw on the 331, BMW, that's when you're able to maybe do that and say, you know what, we got the camber wrong for a race setup, let's take it off or put more on or whatever the judgment is. But under race circumstances, no, that's going to put you right out of contention.
Yeah, difficult position to be in, but as Catesby made the point, Wim Spinoy now with a brand new set of tyres, and you can drive around or adjust your driving accordingly, I suppose, and just tippy-toe a little bit more, perhaps. So that might be something that they'll be focusing on in the closing stages today, and get their heads scratching overnight to try and reach a temporary solution during the 6.5 hours tomorrow. 49 and a half minutes still to go, and the Jutta Racing crew, that's the 71 with the slightly better door numbers on it, more intact, getting through Biondetti's chicane. And 71, Julius Adomovicius leading the GT3, the pure GT3 category. So without the Pro-Am and the Am suffix, for example. Kessel Racing, Ferrari 488, Marco Frezza's number 8 car. I still think that could be a dark prancing horse, if you get my flow, because that's still running in 6th position, just off the lead lap.
I think we've just seen Kerong Lee in this number 728 Porsche just coming back onto the track. He was trailing a bit of dust and a bit of gravel and the like. He's currently 20th overall, 2nd in GTX. I remember this is the team of Jean-Francois Brunot and Kerong Lee, who were running in this championship to win the GTX championship, and their usual mount of a Lipert Motorsport Lamborghini wasn't quite ready, so they've jumped into this 992 Cup car of HRT Performance. Currently 2nd in class, so things going relatively all right, but Kerong Lee, they're just regaining the track. I'm pretty sure that was fine. He was picking up speed and getting on with it. Luke Broekers continues to lead 992 in that number 909 Porsche, currently 9th overall. And the gap at the front of the field, the overall lead, it's coming down by the smallest of margins. So, for instance, Samantha Tan in the number one BMW leads, last lap time through, 154.939. Martin Conrad in the Manfilter Mercedes, car number 25 in second, 154.864. However, Elia Herhart in the Phoenix Racing Audi R8, 152.9. So the gap between first and second, he's gaining just tenths every lap. A couple of tenths here, a couple of tenths there, a tenth here. However, Earhart in the number 18 Phoenix Audi, that gap of 54 seconds between, not 54 seconds, 23 seconds is now coming down ever so slightly again, but more chunks of time being taken out of that gap. So it's still all to play for going into what? We are 47 minutes to go before we press the pause button, isn't it?
Yeah. Just looking as well at how we are faring in the TTE series with BBR, the Thai team, Kantasat Kasiri currently leading the class by a minute and 40 seconds. Now that again is well within a lap time within TCR. So the BBR car is somewhere in that final sector. Roy Edlund in his VW Golf for Holmgard Motorsport, desperate to hang on to the coattails of the BBR crew and at least stay, well, at least start tomorrow's 6.5 hour chunk of the race even Stevens as much as possible. So they'll go across the line, not together, but separated, yes, by less than a lap time. And that should see, if all things remain equal, the 159 and the 102 cars restarting tomorrow on the same lap. I think Marcus Menden in the Wolf Power Racing by Wolf Power Racing Audi RS3. There's no buy to that anymore. They are purely Wolf Power Racing for 2022. The 116 car just a bit too far back, and therefore a lap off the pace of BBR. So it's going to be a situation, I reckon, where two TCE series cars will restart tomorrow on the lead lap, but everybody else will have a fair bit of catching up to do. 35 seconds is the margin between Roy Edlund and Pascal Gibbon. But remember, Pascal drives a GT series Porsche in the 992 AM class, so isn't a going concern for those in the leading group of TCRs. 45 minutes to go. I thought the 974 was doing a bit of weaving there, but actually it was just hustling the car from one side of the road to the other. Massimiliano Montagnesi for Ebbi Motors, 974. of the older spec Porsche Cup cars, Ebbe Motors. It's all about those guys right now. 974 leads 973. And after nearly 5 hours of running, the gap is 5.8 seconds for first and second in that class.
And remember, this is the car, the team, I should say, that took the overall win for the first time for a Porsche Cup car here at Mugello last year. I know we kind of had a COVID-affected, depleted field, but we still had a group of cars that, well, raced all the way through the 12 hours, and it was the EB Motors team that took the win, made a bit of 24-inch series history. And a bit of an update on the lead, as Samantha Tan drops out of the lead of this race by dint of going into the pits. She's in the fueling area now.
Right.
So we've got a new leader, Martin Conrad. He's completed 124 laps. Elia Earhart is 25 seconds behind. And Samantha Tan now dropping to third.
Yes, well, you see, this is what they were trying to get done during the previous Code 60, and they waved her back out again, said don't stop in fuel because there's not an available pump, and she just had to kind of live with the advantage that immediately gave her to take the pain later on. And this is basically that pain now, 23 laps further down the road. The net effect shouldn't be huge, actually. Martin Conrad will lead for the time being from Elia Earhart and Julius Adomavicius, who squeezed into third position. But Samantha Tan, I suppose the real horrible bit about this is that it's a fuel stop when the rest of the field are going at full speed.
Yeah, this is where you lose a lot more track time pitting, refueling, changing driver than you would ever do under Code 60.
Now, the 50% fuel fill is meant to address that a little bit.
Yes, but
I don't think it's fully swinging the pendulum in the opposite direction, is it?
It's not a complete deal.
No.
You are losing time pitting under green. Samantha Tan jumping out of the car, handing over the car. I'm not sure who's next in that rotation, Johnny, but that distinctively, that's kind of art car, isn't it, BMW, with the purple, yellow, orange, all sorts of colours of the rainbow on that car. But it's predominantly purple, splashes of purple, but it's as if it's gone through a paint factory at speed and come out all straight. The 701 just in the background of that number one pit stop, he stalls. So the car has stalled.
This is Nick Whitmer, I'm told, by Diana Bink. So Nick started the day at 1 o'clock doing a double, and they've gone through their cycle of three drivers, or two other drivers, and back to Nick now to try and hang on. Well, I was going to say to the lead lap, but I think that's gone now. Can they hang on to the second, one lap down, rather than two, three or four laps down?
I believe he's the faster driver.
He is, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And faster driver of all three?
Yes.
Yeah, so they've put the hot shot in to give them a really strong finish. And that car, just looking now, Johnny, that car on the outlap dropped down to sixth place for the SD Racing BMW. Now then, question is, Martin Conrad, Elia Earhart, Julius Adomavicius in the Jutta Racing Audi, first, second and third, Joe Foster allied in there with the CP Racing Mercedes, and let's talk about Marco Fretzer in fifth. They all pitted at the last Code 60.
Yes.
So they stretched their window a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As to what extent, I'm not quite sure, because I don't know how much fuel they had in when they pitted under purple.
That's very difficult to work out.
So it's difficult to work out. So we wait here and keep our eye on the pit entrance and watch for cars coming down pit road. And 126 laps for Conrad in the lead, 22 seconds behind Earhart. He's catching Conrad, no question. There is no question about that. He's catching Conrad on average about half a second a lap, where it ebbs and flows.
So the number one car came in, had to come in eventually for fuel. But what we need to find out is exactly what happened during that stop when Sam Tan came in and decided not to go for fuel. I'm sure that question will be one of many that Diana Binks asks right now.
Samantha, you've just come in to hand over the car to Nick. Track, but what happened to your strategy? I'm assuming you had to change it midway through your piece.
Yeah, I mean, as in all endurance racing, every change is minute, So, I mean, the strategy's been changing the whole race, but I think we're in good position now, and Nick's in the car, and the car feels good, so I think we're good to go.
So what happened during that? Because you came in to refuel, and then you went back out again. Was that under the strategy that you had?
Yeah, I mean, the team deals with all the strategy. I think it was because we were under code 60. You know, we try to fuel as much as we can under that time to lose less time on Dirt Green, so it's good.
Well, that's how it works, isn't it? We have to have these strategies that come into play when you're running these endurance races. But how are you finding the racing out on track?
I mean, it's been great. Everybody's super respectful of each other. I mean, as Nick said earlier, I mean, the lower classes like TC, they're very aware of when we're coming by and just, you know, give them a little flash. And yeah, everybody's just been super respectful. So good job to everybody out there.
And how's the car feeling? I mean, it's got that distinctive livery. It looks superb.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody's a big fan of our livery out here, the art car, basically. But car feels great, and we're, you know, we're putting in more laps. We've got, I think, what, how many, 6 hours to go? So I'm going to try to keep it up top there.
And how challenging is it out there in amongst all the traffic?
Sorry?
How challenging is it out there in amongst all the traffic?
I mean, coming from the GT4 last year and having to look at both in front and in the mirrors, I'd say the GT3 is easier because now I'm only looking forward.
Well, you did a great job. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's a good point there from Sam.
Yes.
She doesn't have to bother about faster traffic because
exactly.
She is the faster traffic.
Just ignore the door mirrors from now on. Yeah. Unless Bernd Schneider is in the 25 Mercedes, well, because she was certainly closing in at certain points.
She didn't get the experience of that because he was catching a hand over fist, as they say.
Yes.
So that was, very tactical there for that code 60 came out. Now people used it differently.
Well, it was a very interesting approach. I still don't quite understand why they didn't pit the ST Racing car along with everybody else. She came in, but she was either given the word in the radio last minute to say don't bother with fuel, but if there was space, if there were free bays for the cars behind her, she would have been the first to arrive on the scene, so could have benefited from that. But
well, what we're not considering here is the other
classes.
Who
was already there, of course. Yeah.
It's not just the leader, is not the first car in the pit lane.
That's right.
Everybody piles in. As soon as that purple comes out, bang, you're on the radio, pit. You will have an awareness of where your car is on the track. As soon as the purple is, you know, you're on the radio to your driver, where are you, pit, box, and then you establish where they are, unless you've got a tracker, which you know exactly where your car is, and then you're able to issue the instruction.
Yeah, and it was 5 seconds, roughly, a gap back to the 25 Mercedes and the 18 Audi under green. That will extend, though, to probably more like 10 seconds, when you're down to code 60. So 10 seconds could make all the difference. You know, as Sam's arriving in the fueling area, there isn't a free bay. As Martin Conrad arrives 10 seconds later, oh, look, someone's just left.
Yes.
Straight in.
Yeah.
And that's where a race can not necessarily be won and lost, but hugely the advantage can shift so quickly. And these teams have to be thinking about all of this constantly.
And I know I hear a lot of, well, I'm going to call them the purists, will say that anomalies like that are outside of your control are not part or shouldn't be part of racing. You know, when your car's pitting at your garage and it's down to how you refuel the car and it's down to your pit crew and how they go about their work, then yes. But this is a pro-am series, and everybody knows the process. Everybody knows. And the biggest factor, I think, Johnny, of no refueling in the pit lane is that we can wear shorts and T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And after last week at Sebring of 90% humidity and 90-degree heat with a three-lane Nomex on, I'm all for that.
Yes.
But it is where it is. The rules are what they are. It's the ball that we're going to kick. It's the game that we're going to play. Everybody knows. And even then, you know, you've got team managers who will walk down during the practice sessions and get someone to time the filling process, or you'll get your car to try each one and you will time the filling process just so that you know which one of those fuel stations is the quickest refueler, because they are just basic fuel nozzles. What I do know is the organisers are aware of that, and they do endeavour to get those pumps calibrated as closely as possible to one another, so there isn't a disadvantage as to what pump you pick up.
Yeah,
the disadvantage is is coming into a very crowded pit lane when that purple flag flies and tripping over some of the cars that are already on the pumps.
What I will say is that, you know, it's the same for all teams. It's not as if one team every time has the struggle of finding a spot. You know, everyone's going to have to make that decision on the fly. They're all given the rules and regulations at the start of the weekend, so you can plan around that as well. And to be honest, if you don't like lottery within motorsport, you might as well go and find something else to play and something
especially
else.
Especially motorsport over 12 hours.
Yes. You're going to get moments that don't go your way and moments that very much do. And I think that, you know, there was a quote earlier on from Joe Foster at CP Racing to say, you're going to have to fall either side of a line. You know, is there going to be a code 60 in the next 30 seconds or not? And they gambled earlier on in the race that there would be. It turned out there wasn't going to be, but they lost that one. Your aim is to win the battle rather than the individual battles along the way.
Yeah, some you win, some you lose. You'll get it back in other places, and your competitors will be disadvantaged just as the same way you have, and it swings and roundabouts. The 992 battle continues to rage. 9th and 10th overall. Luke Broich is in the red camel car, and it's Ole Wiebe in the HRT car. Just waiting for them to cross the line, and I will be able to tell you exactly what the gap is. But they're still together on the track as they just has the number one of Nick Widmer just down the inside. Nick in sixth place, waiting for all of those five cars ahead of him to actually pit stop. They're getting towards owing us a pit stop. 133 laps completed by the Martin Conrad Manfilter Mercedes. 20 seconds now between first and second, Johnny.
Yeah.
It's coming down ever, ever so slightly.
Ninth position currently, Luke Broekers driving the red camel Jordans.NL Porsche. And I think the last driver in it was his older brother, Rick, who's now chatting to Di.
Rick looks in the car at the moment. You handed it over to him probably, I think, half an hour ago?
Yeah, something like that. And it went quite well. We're leading class at the moment. Now it will be interesting how the strategy will play out to the end. But everything went quite well.
Are you satisfied you are running to the strategy that you had planned?
Sorry, what?
Are you satisfied you're running well to the strategy that you had planned?
Yes, I mean, the strategy is really good. Paul Trussell is doing our strategy, and so far it's been working out great. So we have to wait to see the result at the end of the race, but so far everything is looking good.
What is it like out there on track managing the traffic? A big grid of cars coming through. Lots of cars suffering from punctures and stuff that we've seen earlier on, but it seems to have settled down again.
Yeah, I think the temperature is a little bit lower now than it was at the beginning of the race. At the moment, we don't have any problems with our tyres, so I expect we don't have any punctures today. Hopefully tomorrow we will have the same as today.
You've got a good sort of team around you here at Red Camel Racing. You've known each other, obviously, it's your family team and all the guys that work for you. How important is it to have that sort of solidness around?
For us, it's really important. We are more like a family and friends team, so they are all volunteers. Nobody gets paid to do this job, and that makes it extra fun. So we go in the evening, we go get some beers, and for us, that makes it a fun weekend. So the racing, but also at the same time, being here with friends.
And Mugello, of course, how would you describe this circuit?
I think Mugello is one of the best circuits. It's old school, there's a lot of elevation. I really like it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Rick Broekers moving to the back of the garage then, back to the screens. You can keep him away talking to Di for a short period of time, but then he's desperate to find out how Luke's getting on. A car off on the exit of Buccini corner, and as it was trying to recover, 724, it very nearly sideswiped the car that was already on the racetrack. I might have to re-identify that. No, it's 728. Got
That's
two of those.
Kerong Lee.
Yeah. So it wasn't Buccini corner. It was coming out of Palacio, I reckon, because he's now gone through the right-hander at Corin Chow. So just allowed the car to wash out a little bit, carrying perhaps a bit too much speed on the exit of Palacio corner, and he'd understeered off and into the gravel. Great stream of dust behind the white Porsche with the pink and purple stripes on it. And it's looking almost showing some scars of doing battle for 5 hours today. And that's the way we like it, of course. These cars are rolled out in pristine fashion at 1 o'clock this afternoon, 12:30 actually, to assemble the grid. But they're already showing signs now of being somewhat dog-eared in some cases. And the paint jobs will not be worked on particularly overnight. We like them to show that they've been working incredibly hard through day one of the Mugello 12 hours, with over half the race still to be done tomorrow. In from second place in TCE, Holmgaard Motorsport of Denmark.
We are going to be due a pit stop from all of the top five cars, with just under 30 minutes now remaining. They are going to need to pit stop, not just because of... And as I say that, Elie Earhart, I was just about to say, Elie has done an hour and 50 in that car, hour and 48 to be kind of more precise. Elie is now in the fueling, just brings the Audi to a stop. The Phoenix Audi gets the instruction to shut off the engine. The fueling hose goes on, and then you're basically standing there getting your nectar points or whatever, with the pistol grip fueler going in. Must feel like an absolute age. We're under green conditions, so a full quarter of fuel with, it'll be about, 25 minutes of racing by the time this car exits the pits. That's going to put it in good stead for a long stint to start tomorrow's start.
Yes.
To start tomorrow's start. To start tomorrow's segment of 6.5 hours to the finish. So...
Yeah,
question is, Johnny, when are we going to see that leading Mercedes into the pits? And how far is Nick Vittma going to move up the order? He's already moved past the Kessel Ferrari as Marco Frezza brings in the number 8 for its pit stop. We're waiting for Joe Foster, Adam Avisius in the Duter car, and now Martin Conrad. They're both, all four of those cars are due in.
I think that's a really useful stint for us, for Elie Earhart, because I think those 29 laps were all under green. So it gives us a great indication of quite how far a GT3 car can go, possibly one of the first of the day, actually. And it's not yet made the full hour. Now, that might be because they're doing a little bit of back timing regarding Elie's drive time. Although he's not going to breach that, is he? We don't get the drive time whilst the car's in the pit.
Yeah,
course.
That's right. He is going to breach it. He can't go to the finish.
Oh, he can't.
They are going to swap
today.
Him out. He was about an hour and 48 into his stint.
Yes.
There was 29 minutes on the clock. He is going to get out of that car.
He did 38 minutes initially. Then there was a really quick one of only 5 minutes, which contained one yellow lap, or one code 60 lap, where they pitted it on one lap. He went round, did the full 5.2 kilometres at 60 km/h, but had chance to come back in again. Now he's just done 29 laps. And I think, yes, the defining factor of him coming in for fuel was that he was going to go over the 2 hour drive limit. So 29 laps. I mean, generally a GT3 car can do an hour, and normally an hour and five, I thought, even when, you know, powering to the max on green. So,
well, Joe Foster, 1 hour 44. Julius Adamovicius, 1 hour 43. They're going to need to pit, 26 minutes on the clock. They're going to be getting towards their maximum drive time.
Yeah.
The leader, Martin Conrad, if he's got fuel for another 26 minutes, he's fine. He's absolutely fine. He's only done an hour and four. So he's well within the driver's stint time. It wasn't fuel restriction or tyres even. It was purely driver stint time that were restricting Elie Earhart, who's jumped out of the car and goes to the back of the garage. Worked really, really hard. Pierre Caffer helping with the pit stop there. Fantastic.
Excellent. Yeah, got the green high-vis jacket on so that he could be part of that crew. You have to be identifiable by the officials in the pit lane. And the green jacket means something particular. It doesn't mean you've won the Masters, does it?
No, not the Masters.
Case.
So the bright yellow, day glow yellow, is wheel changes. The mechanics.
Yes.
The green bib is the driver assist. So a mechanic can help with the driver, but if you can have an extra member of the team wearing a
green,
and that's why Pierre put the green bib on, because you're allowed that extra person over the line to assist, purely to assist the driver getting in and out.
So the driver assist can only assist the driver,
yes.
But if you've got a yellow high-vis on,
you can do anything, pretty much, can't you, including
helping the driver in and out.
Yeah, and that's change
exactly,
wheels,
yes,
windscreen clean.
Yeah, so Martin Conrad in the race leading Mercedes, his stint started out of the previous Code 60 that we had quite a long time ago now, a long time judging by how frequently the Code 60s have been happening, because it was an hour ago, an hour and five to be exact, and that was the 6 minutes and 20 second Code 60 that we had just before 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're now 6 minutes past 6 local time. And Martin Conrad has been at the wheel of that Mercedes now for just over an hour. And I think all but maybe one lap has been green, and he's managed to do an hour and 5 minutes. So that gives us a great indication of how long a GT3 car can go when the track does stay green. He'll need to come in not for the driving time rule, but purely because the car will be out of fuel pretty soon, I think, that Manfilter Team Landgraf car. So that's another car, when they do fuel it, that'll be starting tomorrow in a really good vein of fuel run form.
Adam Avisius is in with the Jutta Audi from second place, car 71, into fueling. Now, Julius was getting very much towards that maximum drive time stint, about an hour and 48 for Julius. Drops to third. Joe Foster goes into second, just been in the car an hour and 47 hour and 48. So Joe's due in with 23 minutes remaining. He will not be able to take the car to the finish. And then the question mark over the number 25, he's done 35
laps. As I say, I think the first lap and possibly the second were still code 60, but every other lap after that's been green.
He's got to be close to the fuel window.
Hour and 7 minutes now that Martin's been at the wheel.
Yeah, it's got to be there. It's got to be next. It's got to be within the next two or three
laps. You've got to think so. And as I said, I've been desperate for this full green flag run all race, really, so that it gives us an idea of at least how far the Mercedes can go. And then we can sort of guesstimate how the other GT3 machines are burning their fuel. But it's a big old engine in the front of these Mercedes, normally aspirated, so they're not getting the turbo assist. 6.2 litre V8, still the same engine that basically powered the SLS when you go back far enough in Mercedes history, the previous GT3 car. The AMG, though, is now into an Evo version that was brought in 2020, I seem to remember, where the grill was extended out so that yawning mouth became even bigger. And it's had much success. Team Landgraf have had much success, not necessarily in 24H series circles, but more so in the homeland of Germany, the Nürburgring Nordschleife, during NLS rounds, and the Mamba Mercedes in the yellow and green colours is always one of those cars that you strike off the your favourites list at your peril, really, because it's competed so competitively at the Nürburgring Nordschleife on the 24 hours, year in, year out. Car 904 is the Porsche that is run by Red Ant Racing, and Philippe Vils just brought that in. 127 laps completed for that car. And it is, where in its class, fourth position, entered into the 992 class and in the AM subcategory. So its driver lineup means that it's in with Orchid Racing Team's Loic Villiger, the number 917 car. So that's third in the 992 AM class. Second in 992 AM is the Dutch crew NKPP. But they are actually another HRT Performance prepared car. Harry Hilders, again, Harry and Gijs Bessem. Harry Hilders, Gijs Bessem are some of the most experienced drivers across all sorts of different classes through the history of the 24H series. And they can't be very far away from a 50th career race. That will be hit at some point this year, I would imagine. What car are they in? 928.
Bit of a story there why they've gone with HRT this race.
Go on.
Hang on, I'm going to cough.
Okay, let me tell you then just how many races they've managed to do in a long 24-8 series career. Harry Hilders has done five more races than Gijs Bessing, would you believe? I thought they'd been forever racing with one another.
Yeah,
attached at the hip. Well, they certainly are in the paddock. So 45 races done for Harry. Gijs Bessing has reached 40 races. So this will be the 46th and 41st races, respectively, for those two drivers with HRT Performance. Inside the final half an hour of the race, and another spin for a Porsche at the final corner. This is Harry Hilders. Oh, goodness me. Just shows how much of an influence Joe and I have on races. We were literally talking about this man, and the next moment, a spin for the 928 car for HRT Performance. Again, I hope he hasn't got RSL locked on the radio, because he's probably thinking, oh, they're talking about me. I'm my 46th race. Oh, I've lost the car. Well, oh, and I'm facing the wrong way, but he has recovered, thankfully.
Those two drivers are stalwart customers of Bascooten.
Yes.
And would have been here with Bascooten, but they went to Dubai in their 991 Cup car, and they really liked how the 992 was outperforming them.
Right.
So it was like, right, we need a 992 for Mugello. And they just couldn't get their hands on a 992 race car. So, or Bass couldn't lay his hands on the race car for them.
More crucial,
so they, rather than just persevere with the 991, they felt, no, we need to really have a go with the 992. So they did a deal with HRT. But I'm pretty sure, talking to both of those gents, they are such great characters. They've been a part of this series. It wouldn't really be a 24-8 series race without Gijs Bessing and Harry Hilders. It really wouldn't. And they'd be, you know, they were racing a TCR car in that class before. They moved up to a Porsche about, what, 2 or 3 years ago now. Now they're very much on the verge of doing a deal and getting a 992. And then I'm pretty sure they may be well and truly back with Bascooten Racing.
Well, yes. Great that they have the contacts elsewhere. But clearly, you know, that partnership has been built up over several years, and they're certainly not turning their back on Bascooten and his services, just more of an availability issue that they needed to address. So we'll watch that with interest, and I'm sure Harry and Gijs are scheduled to do a lot more racing this year within the 24-hour series. 38 laps now completed by Martin Conrad. He must be on massive fuel save mode. Landgraf, I'm sure, want to make a fuel stop at the last possible moment tonight. Now, was there some rule? We were chatting about this yesterday or the day before about how close to the end of the interval you can actually stop for fuel. And it's something like 10 minutes.
15.
Is it 15 or is
it
10?
It's 15.
I thought Evo was telling us the new rule was now 10 minutes.
Oh, well, that's bypassed me if there's a new rule.
Yeah, but that's the thing he didn't know. It's actually 10, he was telling us. He thought it was 15. It was 15, but there's now something else in the regs that suggests you can pit a lot closer to tonight's checkered flag, but it's not the ultimate checkered flag. You know, that is literally just we'll lock the positions in place and restart tomorrow.
Mike Nash, who's has competed with us in the 24-8 series in a Seat Leon, he says fuel strategy in split races is always an intriguing decision. Fuel up in part one and lose laps, or stay as you are and pray for an early code 60 in part two. He thinks a toss of the coin is needed. That's very analytical.
EBM doing something quite clever here. There's a guy on the floor, the legal side of the white line, taking photographs on a smartphone of the underframe of that car just to make sure that everything is still sitting straight. So, you know, difficult to take everything on board whilst it's sitting in front of you, having tyres changed in the matter of seconds. But a couple of shots have been taken and now will be examined. And that's going to be useful just overnight as well. They've already taken a delay, but the last thing they want is a further 10 laps slapped on that car so they can assess it whilst it was up on the jacks. There'll be a period of time tomorrow when they can probably put the car up on the jacks as well to get it to get the engine running and the oil at the right consistency as well. Because as you were making the point, they're not just turnkey cars. These they'll need to be run in a little bit to be.
But you're not allowed to administer a repair during that warm-up process.
No, that's right.
You may be able to have a better look.
But I'm thinking, can you put the car? Certainly can't put the car into Parc Fermé tonight and put it up on its internal jack. So what's your next opportunity to see underneath the car.
It will be
tomorrow
in the morning.
When you're warming the car up.
When you're warming the car up, you'll put it on its jacks to change wheels, etc. And that's when you'll get a proper look at what the issue is with that rear diffuser. Another suggestion on the, you know, the Orchid car livery, the Orchid Racing Porsche livery.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Alcock wants to put in another one. Yours was the BMW from British
Cars. The Listerine livery from 1991, 92, yeah, go on.
The Porsche 934 Valiant livery from the late 70s.
Ooh.
Remember that one? Exactly the same colour.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
It really is. Good one, Dave.
Yes, good suggestion. And you wonder whether actually the touring car version of it was taken from the Porsche, therefore, it much, much earlier. About 15 years. But Orchid, clearly a very professional team, and have been plying their trade elsewhere, but yet another team that have been tempted into 24H series competition. And let's hope that the plan is that they continue with Spa-Francorchamps next month, 23rd, 24th of April. The Hockenheim race, which will be the 14th and 15th of May. And then there are two 24-hour races in July and September, respectively, being at Portimão on in the south of Portugal, not far from Faro and Portimão town centre itself, and Barcelona in Catalunya for the annual 24 hours of Trofeo Fermí Vélez, which is the twice-round-the-clock event at the Barcelona Grand Prix circuit. For many years, was a touring car only competition, but Creventic helped with its further promotion, and GTs have been a stable part of that competition as well. In either the first or the second weekend of September, it actually falls on my birthday weekend this year, Barcelona. Ooh. 9th, 10th, and 11th of September. Good little getaway, maybe, if I get the invitation.
Birthday in Barcelona, the 85 CP per Mercedes. Is slowing down. That is absolutely tragic.
Horrible.
The car is on its outlap. Charles Putman is at the wheel. We've just had Joe Foster bring the car in, and now the car grinds to a halt and is stopped. I'm pretty sure Charles will be going through the Control-Alt-Delete process. He's already done that. The car has refired, and away he goes. Phew, down so in CP.
Joe Foster had done 36 laps. He handed the car over to Charlie Putman. And is that just a bit of heat soak? As in comes Martin Conrad now in the Man Filter Team Landgraf Mercedes. We said that he would need to do that if the rule is still 15 minutes, he's had it. If it's now 10 minutes, as Ivo Brucas thinks
it's 10. Yeah.
He's absolutely fine because there's 12 minutes left on the clock for today's portion of the race. And Martin Conrad must have been on fumes anyway. And if he didn't come in on this lap, gone would have been the opportunity. And he probably would have ended up like CP Racing. Not suggesting CP's issue is a fuel problem. It's more likely to be some heat soak, maybe. You know, after 36 laps of running and pretty much at full pace, the car then sits in the pit lane as the new driver, Charlie Putman, takes over. That's where the gremlins can creep
in. Well, what happens is you've got sensors all over the exhaust system, all over the engine intake and all sorts of things. And when it sits there, the sensors go, oh, what's happening?
Yes.
Oh, let's shut everything down, shall we? Because I don't know what's happening. And they all
that
get...
That temperature's a bit high. I don't like that. Let's
all of
turn
those
that off for a
lambda
bit.
Sensors and what have you, they all get overly emotional. Mm. So they shut things down and then all you have to do, you know, flick switches, control-alt-delete. You flick everything, all the switches, all the breakers, you switch them off and then you flick them all back on and then you fire the car up.
Yeah.
And thankfully, CP Racing is back underway. We've got a new leader, the number one BMW with that distinctive purple and orange and yellow and everything livery has now taken the lead. Nick Whitmer passes and goes ahead of Martin Conrad. Still down as the driver of the Man Filter Mercedes. He's completed 140 laps. I can't tell you what the gap is because still in the pits. And there's the Man Filter Mercedes coming out of the pits just underneath us from our commentary position. The distinct sound of that Mercedes engine. They can keep Martin in the car, of course. He's stint length. They haven't. They've changed to Alexander Hrakowina. How do you say that name? I can't say that because that's fuzzy, Johnny.
I say Hrakowina.
Hrakowina, that's the way to say it, yeah. I can't even make that out.
I mean, we need to ask Alex at some point actually how he says his surname.
Hrakowina.
He's from Austria, but I'd love to know where that Krakowina name originates from, because it's elsewhere around the world, I would say.
Gap across the line between Lida and Krakowina in the Manfield of Mercedes, 1:06.
Yeah.
That will be utterly irrelevant in 10 minutes' time.
Indeed.
Because it'll be zero. It'll be side by side on the grid tomorrow.
Centimetres, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that the restart laps system should even up all the other classes as well, because when you're dictating a race from two overall leaders, i.e. the GT leader and the TCE leader, the other classes can very easily get mixed up, and unfairly so was the case in the early days of these split races with Kreventic. So a rule set was introduced to make sure that, you know, if there's seconds between, let's say, the GTX first and second place cars and the GT leader got between the two of them, that would give this unrepresentative artificial gap of like a lap, and that was really unfair, it was judged to be, and, you know, everybody agreed. So there is a way of resetting the lower order field in time for tomorrow's race as well. Far too complicated to actually go into the process, but it works, is the crucial thing, and therefore one or two cars, I mean, further down the order, still that gap between the top two in 991. It's the same team, but it's 1.2 seconds.
Yes.
After nearly five and a half hours. You imagine if the overall leader got between the two of them and drove a lap between them, but that doesn't happen these days.
They're both in the AB Motors team. That's a formation finish.
For the photographs.
Yeah,
you think so?
Well,
yeah.
Whether there'll be photographs tonight, Johnny, I don't know, but that's just, let's get this 5.5 hour segment out of the way. Let's go racing tomorrow. You boys can fight tomorrow.
Yes.
Tonight, yeah. I need you to bring those cars home.
Yeah.
So there's no point in fighting over 1.2 seconds right now.
Don't attempt anything. Just Gianluca Giorgi, I'm sure, is being given the instruction to follow Massimiliano Montagnesi home in the 974. The extra entry from EB Motors, not even in the programme, but they brought an extra 991 generation cup car with them. God, it's busy down towards turn one. None of these guys have got the memo to form do a formation finish. 909 Red Camels Jordan.NL car, actually giving this the Lamborghini and the Audi up ahead a bit of a wide berth, it would seem. So that's the 720, Paulius Paskevicius.
Now, the third car in that frame, Johnny, is the Luke Broekers 909 Red Camels Porsche. He has got 6 seconds on Olav Elbe in the HRT performance. That's the 992 class battle.
Yeah.
That's the 992 Porsche Cup class battle. 11th and 12th overall. They've both pit stopped. Olav Elbe is out of the pits on this lap, so I expect Broekers to extend that gap beyond that 6 seconds and give himself quite a cushion. However, once again, I'll reiterate, it's utterly pointless how far ahead you finish. As long as you're on the same lap, you're going to close right back up for tomorrow's restart.
Nick Whitmer leading for ST Racing, 18 laps in the book for this particular stint. Remember, he took over from Samantha Tan at what time? 10 to 6 local. So it was only ever going to be a 40-minute or so stint, and he's 33 minutes, nearly 34 minutes into that. They'll be absolutely fine for fuel, but were in a sense on the back foot, because remember, tomorrow Martin Conrad, or more accurately now Alexander Krakowina, his car is much better off as far as fuel load is concerned. Much more laps expected from that Mercedes bright and early tomorrow before it needs to come in for its first pit stop. Sven Herberger, 10 laps now done. So tomorrow, of the leading contenders, we would expect the ST Racing BMW to need to pit first, followed by the number 18 Audi, and then the Mercedes, number 25, a fair bit later on than that. 5 minutes and 45 seconds still to go as the Luke Broekers driven Red Camel Jordans.NL car goes up the inside into turn one. Headlights have been on full beam for quite some time now. And on the live stream, the camera technology showing a bit more ambient light than is actually the case to the human eye, because these cameras are such high quality these days. It's getting pretty dull out there at the moment. So this will be something that the drivers are used to, because they were qualifying to this hour 24 hours ago, remember, in that second 40-minute stint. But not all of them will have been out in this particular session. Three lots of 10 minutes, remember, to derive a three-lap average time to determine where each car was on the grid for today.
Just to give everybody a context, wherever you are in the world, right here in Italy, northern Italy, it's 25 minutes past 6 p.m. So early evening, and the sun has gone beyond the, certainly beyond the grandstand. We're surrounded by hills here in the Tuscany region of Italy, and the sun very quickly disappears behind the kind of hills and mountains close by, and it does go dark very quickly here, Johnny. It's kind of got this kind of twilight zone effect right now, and then all of a sudden it's gone, and we need to turn the lights on, and we can't see anything. But right now we've got 4 minutes, so we should get this done before the sun completely disappears.
You know, official sunset time is 18:34.
There you go.
And it's nearly 18:27. So, yeah, another 7 minutes of true sunlight we have, but the shadows are lengthening nicely, and it's going to be another, well, quite chilly evening. We found that at yesterday's wine tasting. Sounds like we're complaining.
We're not.
Because there was free wine on offer and some great food as well. But we had to put a very thick coat over the top of our T-shirt for the day that we'd had earlier on. Again, Porsches battling each other in the closing stages of this. It's a GT3 car actually trying to get ahead of a couple of cup cars. And one cup car also trying to dive up the inside of another. 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go. So that was the... Did you identify either of those two cars?
No. It's the
Ebbe Motors cars. Okay.
That's so that battle we were talking about, the 991 battle.
They will have been given a message to stay in formation, nose to tail. Actually, that was Gianluca Giorgi trying to get up the inside of Massimiliano. And thankfully, he thought better of it. They're also both being caught by one of the two Porsche Lauriot Racing Cup cars, the newer spec 992s. It's the 911, I believe, of Pascal Gibbon. And Gibbon is lapped back, actually, from these two. So that shows you how many difficulties the Lorient crew have had for the time being. New cars, though, so there's always going to be potentially some teething problems. And the team getting used to a brand new bit of kit. Quite a lot of changes from one gen to another for the better. But it does take a while just to get to the bottom of those and work out how best to set up a car.
So, Johnny, 2 minutes to go before we see the flag waved to end this segment. We've got, I think, at my last count, 6 cars on the lead lap. And I'm just going to have that confirmed. I might be getting a little bit sort of excited by that. So Wittmer's just gone through, 145 laps completed. He's got a massive lead of well over a minute, minute and 17 seconds last time through. And it's the Mannfelder Mercedes in second, car 25, the number 18. The Phoenix Audi started the race on pole position, currently third. It's only 1.8 seconds behind the Mannfelder car from Rakovina, Alexander Rakovina in the Mercedes. Andreas Gelsenius in the Jutta car. They're in fourth. Driver LMDV. Have we ever found out what LMDV stands for?
Yes, I thought I had. Now, you're going to put me on the spot here. I've got a minute to try and find out.
Right, we can talk about that tomorrow. He's at the wheel of, he or she is at the wheel of the Kessel Racing Ferrari. Now, 1 minute and 13 seconds behind the leader is the second place car. The third place car is 1 minute and 15 seconds. And the fourth place car, we just wait for that Jutta Racing Audi to come through.
It is Leonardo Maria Del Vecchio, who is a regular with...
Del Vecchio.
Del Vecchio, yes, Maria Del Vecchio. Well, just call him Leonardo, if you wish. 26 years old, silver rated, so he'll be a semi-pro, I would think. And did one race last year in the 24-hour series as well for Kessel. It was here at Mugello.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought I'd met him before, and I just couldn't remember. Right. And, of course, Leonardo, what's the M4?
LMDV.
Leonardo Maria Del Vecchio.
Yeah.
That's too long for the timing screen.
Exactly. So he's known as LMDV.
Yeah, LMDV.
But we'll have to try and... I'll scribble that down somewhere on the desk so he can easily recall it tomorrow.
Right, confirm, Johnny. Three cars on the lead lap. That's only the top three cars on the lead lap. Car number one, the SD Racing BMW. Car 25, the Mann-Filter Mercedes. And car 18, the Phoenix Racing Audi. We have got a... certainly at least a lap when the cars go. The timing screen changes all the time. We're on the last lap to finish this 5.5 hour segment, part one of the 2022 12 Hours of Mugello coming to conclusion, and those gaps of well over a minute between the second place Mercedes and the first place BMW is going to be closed right up and be completely negated by tomorrow's restart. They're going to start the race, the final 6.5 hours of this race together.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you were planning this for a restart tomorrow, whether you could have actually written it quite as brilliantly as this, because there's no telling what might happen during a 5.5 hour period. We've never had such a long first half of the race. Always previously, it's been generally, I think, 4 hours on a Friday and 8 hours on a Saturday, sometimes 3 plus 9. But to have 5.5 hours plus 6.5 hours, there was always the danger that a number of cars would fall off the lead lap and we'd have a yawning gap for the car that finished at the top of the pile. That is not the case, though, in this year's Mugello 12 hours. Heading through Buccini Corner then to see a checkered flag, but not the checkered flag, will be Nick Whitmer to cross the line for ST Racing. He took that car over from Samantha Tan just over half an hour ago and will finish as the overnight leader for ST Racing and their brand new M4 GT3. So Bryson Morris and Samantha Tan make up the trio of drivers from ST Racing. We're waiting for Alexander Krakowina for Mann-Filter Team Landgraaf to finish the overnight positions in second spot, and then Sven Herberger in third for Phoenix Racing. Already home a lap back is Andreas Gelginis for Jutta Racing. So they will have quite a bit of work to do. And peculiarly, we actually had the GT3 standard cars not make the lead lap overnight, but the two Pro-Am and an Am car being well and truly in the hunt. And there will be some reset of the grid tomorrow, and just in terms of how they're lined up, not, of course, how they are shown on the timing screen, but that will generally put the GT3 cars ahead of the 992s and the GTXs to make sure that tomorrow's restart is done as safely as possible with the quicker cars at the front. And then it's our job to actually tell you the real order once they've got one lap done and dusted tomorrow morning. It's a bright and early start, I'll remind you, and we'll do a big summing up of today and how you can enjoy the rest of the race tomorrow in due course. But 9 o'clock is the time that we'll be restarting the race in the morning, for I think the first time ever that the Mugello 12 hours will extend on in to a Sunday. Meantime, BBR are not quite with their lap completed. No, they are. They have also seen the checkered flag as well. So the only car that we're short of now is Charlie Putman in the 85 CP Racing Mercedes. He crosses the line now in sixth position. But to confirm, the TCE Series overnight leader will be BBR with their quartet of Thai drivers in the Cupra Leon Competition, and it's Kantasak Kusiri who is at the wheel of the 159. He brings it across to see the checkered flag and the overnight pause. Let's get straight to Diana Binks for some reaction after almost the first half of the race.
Yes, I'm down at Phoenix Racing with Pierre Caffer. We thought we'd come and chat to him just at the end of this session. Pierre, end of the part one of the 12-hour race, obviously. P3 at the end after starting on pole position, but definitely in contention. How would you summarise the day?
Yeah, well, it was quite an exciting start, I have to say. When we have seen there were some flames coming out, we had a fuel issue, what we found out. But luckily, the car wasn't damaged, which was pretty good. And my start was good. The fight with the BMW was pretty nice. And then we tried to organize the strategy. We had one puncher, I have to say. But in the end, we are quite happy. Our target was to stay in the lead lap. And tomorrow, with 6 hours 30 to go, it's a long race still coming up tomorrow. And as I said before, it's always entertaining to be here, part of the Creventic. It's a really nice championship.
Now, I've noticed that not only are you in the car driving the car, you've been really very involved with the team during those pit stops. Was that something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, I'm a bit involved. We were looking for the driving times, and my driving times are limited. And so we would like to save them for tomorrow. And during the pit stops, it was like last year that we help each other. And I mean, the knowledge is there, so why we shouldn't use it?
And what's the plan this evening for tomorrow's restart?
To be honest, we have to discuss this later, because now, right now, Sven was in the car. Maybe he will start the race tomorrow. We will see. But this we will decide together. How is the strategy for tomorrow?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not necessarily something that has to be pre-planned, of course. They can work out where they are overnight and come up with a new plan or a revised effort for 6.5 hours running tomorrow. Great scene, though, as the cars are now lined up on ineffectively parked Fermé, as the sun really does dip behind the nearby mountains. 18:37, I think I said, was official sunset. We're 9 seconds away from that. The red lights, 10 of them, illuminated now on the starting gantry, and we won't be racing again until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I was about to work out how many hours that is, but of course then I would have to subtract an hour because we're going forward. And
Don't
forget that.
Oh, so
we
that's
lose
a,
an hour tonight as well. Yeah, I won't.
I'm going to bed now.
My brain is frazzled as it is. Standings to look at in a moment or two, of course, but what a fantastic venue this has provided once again for the 8th consecutive year. This event very nearly didn't happen in 2020, and then we did come here in the end in November. So overnight, after 5.5 hours of running, it'll be ST Racing who are the overnight leaders. Samantha Tan, Bryson Morris, Nick Whitmer. You can forget about the minute and 8 seconds that was the gap at the checker, because that will be closed up to mere feet between the two cars as they're reassembled tomorrow. Also making the lead lap then, the Mansfield Tatin Landgraaf Mercedes number 25 and the Phoenix Racing Audi number 18. And beyond that, we're talking laps down for Jutta Racing and 71. That's one lap down. Two laps down. The Kessel Racing Ferrari didn't quite make the lead lap either. CP Racing finishing in sixth position for overnight. MP Racing's Mercedes seventh, and Herbert Motorsports Porsche. Just about the worst day of racing for Herbert Motorsport that I can recall in recent memory. They will be overnight in eighth place. Ninth spot for the 61 Elbamba Motorsport crew. Again, they've had a fast car, just not had the luck. Santelot Racing's Audi 10th. Red Camel Jordans.NL are the leaders in the 992 class, ahead of HRT Performance. 4.1 seconds between those two cars, so they will be neck and neck at tomorrow's restart. 7:20 is the RD Signs Lamborghini Huracan 13th. Jutta Racing's Audi 14th. And then the Red Ant Racing car of Belgium, that's a Porsche Cup car, 15th, ahead of Orchid Racing's version number 917. JR Motorsports BMW M6 17th, another Red Ant Racing Porsche 18th, NKPP by HRT Performance, a Porsche Cup car 992, 19th position for the 928. Then the two Ebbe Motors cars pretty much finishing door handle to door handle, and there was almost an overtake with a lap to go between 974 that eventually led across the line in front of 973. 7:28 is the HRT Performance car. Kerong Lee's had an entertaining day, and not always for the right reasons. 159 will be the overnight TCE Series leader. The BBR doing the business at Dubai, taking that big victory earlier on in the year. Can they make it 2 out of 2? It's been a great first day for them. The 911 Porsche Laureate Racing car is a GT Series entry, 23rd technically within that race. Second in the TCE is the Holmgard Motorsport 102 VW Golf. Third is the 116 Wolf Power Racing Audi RS3. Car Collection Motorsports Audi 27th in the GT Series. Orchid Racing feature in with their Porsche 718 Cayman in the GT4s. 104 is a TCR car from Nokert Racing Team. They will be fifth in the TCE Series. Veluga, a class leader overnight, the 205 Porsche 718 Cayman. Then the SK Racing Ligier of France, and the 41 Team ACP car, which has been troubled by front punctures on at least two separate occasions today. And a little further down the order, Porsche Laureate Racing's number 9, 12, 33rd. Vortex V8, 703. That's the first of the French cars, 34th. Hoffa Racing by Bonk Motorsport, the 332, is a class leader within TC. The Bodar by Baz Kooten Racing, Bentley's not had a happy day, but we'll see more of that tomorrow. Two more Vortex V8s, 37th and 38th, when you combine both races. Hoffa Racing by Bonk Motorsport, 331, 39th. And sadly, out of the race, Villi Motorsport after a big crash for Fabrizio Brogi. He's actually in a nearby hospital, but generally okay. He's in there for observation. What a day we've had. Day one of the Mugello 12 Hours for 2022.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.